Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting The Morning Stream. Stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Go to ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/TMS, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. Coming up on TMS, ask your doctor if Complainitol is right for you.
No penetration.
I don't like bee stories.
Have you tried nothing?
Keep it in the cow, where it belongs!
Technically, Commander Worf is a ruminant.
Well, what did you know? I thought it was all farts.
Every pizza is a personal pizza.
Goat of Duty.
Mad Max Fargo Road.
Paying the Johnny Utah price.
The Legend of Banjo's Chocolate.
You could cut around the white chalky part.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals, huzzah, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I need you to keep on the dodge and sidle up the lollylob past them hornheads. Just hooting and hollering to score off them wrestlers. We'll cut dirt and get the bulge on them.
Yes, we are just taking a nice shit together.
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian Ibbett.
Hi, Scott Johnson. How are you?
Fine. Have you noticed that I have no problem remembering the year since it changed over? No problems. No flip-flops. I don't have a problem.
That usually happens later, though, doesn't it? Like, we all start off really well, and then it's about March or April we start writing the old year for some reason.
Could be.
Like, it's fresh. We just experienced New Year's Eve, so it's still fresh in our minds. But then give us about 30 days and it's like, what year is it again?
You see that awesome press release yesterday it was from the White House, and it had a date up top, and it said January 5th, 2020. So they screwed it up. Always about quality control.
Nothing if not thorough and exact in the old White House.
Yeah, that's what you expect from good government. All right. Hey, check it out. We're here. We're going to do a show. We got stuff coming up, a little game show with Dunaway. Of course, Tom and Nicole later in the show. A busy, busy Wednesday, I like to say.
So much content on Wednesday. So much prep for me on Wednesdays.
I ate a whole pizza yesterday, and I feel guilty about it.
A whole pizza?
Yeah. Well, it was a mod pizza, so it wasn't like a huge pizza, but...
Oh, you know, those are made for one person to consume.
Yeah, but I feel like I looked at it and went, I could split this.
Yeah.
Or I could save this other half, but then I didn't. Yeah. I went ahead and just kifed the whole thing down, and my kids bought pizza because they were just feeling nice. And I said, oh, thanks, Carter and Taylor. They split it.
Didn't want them to feel bad. Of course, you're going to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the whole thing. You know, and they said, don't feel too bad, Dad. It's government money, she says.
Oh.
And I said, you got your stimulus.
Stimulus pizza.
So because it's stimulus pizza, I feel like I had to eat it, all of it. I had to eat the whole stimulus. And I did. And now I kind of regret it. I just feel fat and bloaty today. And, I did get I got the cauliflower thing, but it doesn't matter sometimes. You just eat too much of anything. It's just too much, you know?
Well, there's the obvious joke. Every pizza is a personal pizza if you're determined enough or something like that. I can't remember.
Is that
who said
an actual phrase? That's a thing people say. I love that.
So that was a comedian's phrase, and I can't remember. It's like, it's not Stephen Wright. It's someone more recent, maybe Gaffigan or something.
Yeah.
But,
seems like a thing.
Here's the problem is that food. If food didn't taste so good, some foods anyway, we wouldn't be fat.
Because
it'd be like, I am just consuming this food for sustenance. I have completed my sustenance and I can move on.
It's like my sister Wendy always says, think of it as fuel and you'll lose all the weight you want. And I can't do that. I can't just look at it and go, there is the nameless gray ghoul that I will put in my body and obtain all those nutrients I need. Like, I can't think of it that way. And I know people can. There are plenty who can. She's one of them.
Yeah.
She's figured out the way to do it. And just, she sees food purely as fuel. And therefore, she sees it very objectively and goes, oh, well, okay, there's some greens there. There's some protein. Like, she's seeing what she needs. What I see is what I want.
Exactly. And you finish it and you look at it and say, oh, I can imagine the way that that next slice of pizza is going to taste. And I want it. Yeah. I don't need it. I'm not hungry, but I just want that taste. I wonder if you're better off. Here's a weird psychological thing. You know how when you do one of the things they recommend when you're trying to lose weight is to use smaller plates so that the food looks bigger and you feel like you're eating more, even though it's the same amount of food. It's just on a smaller plate.
Right.
It's kind of overlapping the sides or whatever.
Sure.
I wonder if the psychology of getting a large pizza and saying, I'm only going to eat a third of it or a half of it or a quarter of it, or whatever, depending on how large the large pizza is, versus, oh, well, it's a small pizza. I don't want to just have that extra two slices sitting in the fridge in foil. Mm. Might as well just eat it. If there's some sort of psychology to that.
There probably is. I mean, I'm trying to think if I put, I don't know if I've tried this. If I put less food on a smaller plate, did that actually affect me? I don't know if it did, I've ever even done that, or if I cognitively, or if I consciously did it and noticed that I did it, maybe I don't even know that I did it. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to experiment around here. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll fiddle about
experimenting. Amy says, do a mindful eating exercise. You'll be so bored with the food, you won't want to eat any more than you need. I'm guessing it's like every bite you think about, like kind of what Wendy had us do early on.
Yeah.
I remember this one very specifically. She was telling us to eat a banana, but with every bite, think about the journey that banana made to get from the tree to your fruit bowl.
To your head hole. Yeah.
To your head face hole.
Yeah, to your face hole. I've done this before, and it actually does work, but it's really hard to remember to do it.
Yeah.
Like all mindfulness, it's like you have to really pound your habits in, and I've been bad at that. So, all right, here's my goal. Next time we meet here on the show, today, all of today, whatever I consume, I'm going to mindfully consume it on a smaller plate. How about that?
Sure.
How about that? You like that? Okay.
I like that idea a lot. I'll do the same thing.
We'll hook up on the other end and see how we did. Yeah. Anyway, good to have you all here. Let's get started with a quick email from a listener that just made me laugh. And I actually put the image.
I know. I love it. I love that I get the image of it.
I got to blow this image up if I can for the chat because I may not be able to extract it. Crap. Because I actually inserted it in here and then deleted the original. I thought I could pull it out easy. I can't. But just imagine this in giant, giant thick text, okay? Because that's how it came to me. He says this. Right. Hey, Scott. This is from Rob. He says, sorry for the text size. I can't seem to get Office to do anything right. And I think it's because Microsoft wants me to log in every day or something. And Microsoft Teams is always trying to take over my computer. I know. I'm a Luddite. But is there an argument to be made for Microsoft being too invasive? Maybe even for Microsoft slowing down American productivity? Is that a topic that you and the other Bryans can discuss? Sad and frustrated at becoming old, Rob. I just love this email because, and I wish they could see it better, but it's,
In there before he apologized for his text size?
No, that was it. This is the entire thing.
So he began the email with sorry for the text size.
Yeah, this is the whole email as presented to me. And what I loved about it was how, I mean, it is thick. If you go look at your regular email, you get like 10-point type or whatever.
Yeah.
This thing is like 24 size type or 18-point or something huge. And he's it's just the kind of frustration that I kind of wanted to just hug him and go, oh, these are good problems to have.
I gotcha. So I could see like the comparison of his little avatar and his name and the date, like the stuff that Google puts in there automatically are like little tiny thin stripes compared to the size of this text.
Yeah. And it sounds like it just did it without his willpower. Something happened in Outlook and. I don't know why, but this caught me just in a fun way. So, Rob,
so we feel you. So, do we want to discuss Microsoft slowing down American productivity?
Well, they do that to me on my Xbox and Game Pass, but I don't know if I could blame them for much else. I mean,
it's all Clippy. I think it's all Clippy.
Clippy's fault. Bob, remember Bob? Bob's fault.
I remember Bob.
Bob was terrible. He's still at it. no, I don't know. Like, Microsoft, when you sign up for 365 Office or whatever it is, and you are, let's say you're on a Windows machine and you're using their browser, using Edge, and you're using all their stuff, there is a lot of sort of we're not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me sort of feeling. Like you do get a little surrounded by all their stuff right now.
And Apple is just as guilty of this. You know, totally. Don't anybody think that we're taking, you know, Apple's side, but Apple does this too, and even to a different but also equally painful degree of like, oh, well, if you'd like your stuff to be synced across all your devices, sorry, you have to use Safari and this and that and iCloud and all that stuff.
So. Yeah, it's like everybody. Google does it, they all do it. Everybody wants you in their space. And that's just where you're at right now there, Rob. So enjoy. Yeah. Enjoy it while you're
in. Welcome to the future. It is not going to get any better.
Nope.
Your tech size is just going to keep growing and growing and growing.
Oh, man. I look forward to the day when he's just sending like 144-point text to me. That'd be great.
You can only fit two words in each email.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a multiple of a multitude
of emails.
It'll
say, sorry for, and then that'll be all we got. Anyway, we appreciate your...
He's Canadian.
Oh, yeah, he is Canadian. No, I don't know if he is. I have no idea. all right, we're going to play a game today.
Yeah.
We're super prepped for this. It's going to be rad. Dunaway is going to be involved in some fashion. We're going to
also, which is also good.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to come in here and join us in just a second. And we're going to also take your calls to be a part of this. But before all that starts... All right, welcome to the show once again, as we do every Monday and Wednesday. Mr. Brian Dunaway, hello.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello, Brian Dunaway.
How are you? Hey,
I've been better. I just got up from a 10-hour NyQuil nap.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no, are you feeling sick?
Yeah, I haven't felt well for the last couple of days. I don't believe it's the COVID. Settle down.
Yeah, everyone, calm down.
I have allergies, and this is just like old allergy central here.
The winter allergies are kind of the worst allergies because if it feels like you're supposed to have that stuff in the spring and in the summer and stuff, and it sucks when it's in the
right. It's that time of year for us where the weather is inconsistent. It's like one day it's like, oh, how'd you like it'd be 60 degrees? It sounds good. Next day, 20. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm. How you feel about irregular weather? It's good stuff. Good times. I'll tell you what else is good times. Playing games with you on the every other day and doing it with a listener who has very patiently sat here and waited for us to ramble. So I'm going to find out who it is right now. Hi, thanks for holding. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Ian, and I'm currently suffering from dry throat.
Nice. Ian.
Oh, no.
Ian, don't have dry throat. That's not good. Are you probably not the COVID, though? Just a little bit of the dry throat there?
Yeah, it's the typical, dry heat coming up in the apartment itch that happens every single time at this time of year.
That's no good. So what do? Do you spray your mouth with some sort of spray? Do you drink a lot of water?
Humidifier?
What do you do?
Yeah, we've been trying the humidifier the last couple nights, so I'm going to start taking some allergy meds and see if that knocks it out. But other than that, I'm fine.
Oh, good.
Just a little bit of the back of the throat.
Gotcha.
Just a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I try?
What do you try?
Nothing. And then my fiance will say, have you taken anything? And I'm like, shut up. I want pity right now. Sympathy.
That is exactly what happens in this house, too. Like, I complain about, I've got a headache. Well, have you taken anything? Well, Complainatol.
You mean there's medicines I can take?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Grumpini and Complainatol, and that's it. That's all I need.
Exactly.
And the couch. I need the couch.
Ask your doctor if Complainatol is right for you. Don't take Complainatol if you're allergic to Complainatol.
Well, Ian, it's wonderful to have you here, and Brian will now explain to you why you're here, what you could win, and how it'll work.
Why are you here, Ian, in your dry throat? Welcome to What's Your Nerd? I've interviewed a member of the Tadpool and asked them 9 questions in a subject in which they consider themselves nerdy. Scott and Brian will take turns predicting whether or not our guest will get those questions correct. If they predict correctly, they receive a point. The first player to 5 points wins the game. Caller, Ian, and your dry throat. As always, your job is to choose which of our two hosts will more accurately predict our guests' knowledge in their category. If you're correct, you win our prize package, which includes the carryover prizes from Monday, Overcooked 2, as well as all that damn DLC, Too Many Cooks and Surf and Turf. And today we are adding Goat of Duty.
Oh, from the goat simulator people. Yeah.
Because it's Call of Duty with goats, I'm assuming, right?
Well, it's good. So Goat Simulator has these spinoffs, and they are always like the Goating Dead and things like that. It's like mix and match goats with like other popular things. And so, yes, you're right. There's like a thematic sort of Call of Duty
goats thing. Versus plants versus zombies or something.
It's pretty.
It's not a complex game. But it is very positive.
It's mostly a physics experiment with a goat. That's pretty much what it is. It's fine, though. It's good. People love the goats. The goats are good.
Well, you get that and Overcooked if you correctly predict who's going to win this. But first, let's meet today's special guest and find out what's their nerd. Welcome, Luke Johnson, to What's Your Nerd?
Oh. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Scott, and listener.
Hello.
And Brian, don't forget Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, Dunaway's here. Hey, Brian.
Oh, hi.
So how are you doing? What's new in your world?
You know, a new year, another chance for, you know, Zoom calls all day long. But I'm excited to be on the show. And I'm excited. I've got a Series X, just like Scott, and I've been, you know, using the quarantine time properly for that. Yeah. So let's hear it for load times.
Yeah. At some point, I'll have a PS5. At some point. Not everybody, but at some point.
I appreciate your low-key, you know, approach to it, right? You hit refresh, eventually it's going to be there.
Yeah, eventually it'll be there. If it's not, it's not. But that's neither here nor there. You're here because I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about a topic that you say you're an expert in. What is your nerd?
My nerd is the fabulous movie Point Break.
And we're talking the original, not this 2015 remake nonsense.
I don't even mention it. That's how terrible the remake is. Like, I refuse to believe it exists.
Yeah,
it
makes sense. Awful. When was the last time you watched Point Break?
Well, the reason I love it so much is my buddy and I in college had a VCR. Kids, look it up. There used to be a way that we would watch movies. And whenever there was nothing on cable, we would hit play on the VCR. And we basically just left Point Break in the VCR for almost an entire college school year. Wow. So I've definitely seen it 100 times. I probably watched it most recently a few months ago. It is an annual or a biannual viewing for me.
All right. Well, that should give our contestants, Scott and Brian, a good idea of how well you're going to do in all this. If you're ready, let's go ahead and get going.
Let's do it.
Okay, so that was a little bit of more setup than I usually do, but I wanted you to hear how much he loves Point Break and how recently he's watched Point Break. Not terribly recently, but there was that whole year in college where it was stuck in the VCR. Now that you know the topic, let's go over to Ian. Who do you think between Scott and Brian is going to more correctly predict how well Luke Johnson does with his Point Break knowledge?
Well, if it was Mad Max Point Break, I'd go with Scott, but I'm going to go with Dunaway on this one.
All right.
I'm all for that combo, by the way. Mad Max.
Mad Max, Fargo Road, Point Break.
There you go.
All right, let's get to this. And who do you want to go first?
I'll have Scott go first.
All right.
Scott. All right. I asked Luke Johnson, in addition to directing Point Break, Catherine Bigelow went on to win a Best Director Oscar for what other film?
Oh, well, I know this, but I wonder if he would know this because he's not necessarily saying he's an expert in everything about it. But I'm going to go ahead and give him some credit and say, yes, he'll know.
Okay, you're going to say yes. Let's find out.
Now, did she win it for The Hurt Locker or did she win it for Zero Dark Thirty? I'm going to say The Hurt Locker.
Say The Hurt Locker because that's the right answer. Good job.
Ding.
You got it. Ding. All right, very good. Ding. And a point for Scott. Brian, we asked Luke, Johnny Utah played quarterback for what college football powerhouse?
I think so. Little hand says it's time to rock and roll. I'm going to say Luke knew what school.
Okay.
Two cool.
Let's hear how he did.
That would be the USC Trojans.
That's not. I have Ohio State here.
Oh, you are right. Ohio State, number 9. My bad. That's I should have run the quote back in my mind.
That's okay. No. That's okay. Go Trojans.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no. You can't account for a brain fart.
Nope.
You can't. Nope. Exactly. And that's exactly what it was. Okay. All right. So we'll stay with you, Brian, because it's 2-1 now. Scott has 2. I'm sorry, 2-0. Scott's got 2. Let's see if you can catch up. Bodhi believes that a 50-year storm is going to create the biggest surf this planet has ever seen at what specific location? Did he know the specific location?
I'm going to say that brain fart was just that. I think if you want the ultimate, you've got to be willing to pay the ultimate price. I think Luke knows this.
All right. Sounds like you've watched it recently. Let's see if Luke knows this one.
Okay. It's in Australia. Bell's Beach.
Bell's Beach is correct.
Yes. Nice.
Yes. Nicely done.
No way, Baja is bigger than Bell's, bro. Yeah.
This, by the way, all this is making me want to watch Point Break, which is currently again on HBO Max.
Yeah, yes.
And we have it for FilmSack if you ever want to go back and listen.
Yep.
That's right. I could go back and listen to our episode of FilmSack to see what we thought of it.
Yeah, right.
Why not? All right, 2-1. Brian, you still get this one. I asked Luke, what derogatory nickname does the FBI use to describe young agents straight out of Quantico? Did he know that?
You know that? See, I think I know that, but now I'm feeling like,
what do you think? I feel like it's
a trick question now.
No, oh, really? What do you think the answer is? Because it's not going to hurt if you say it.
Yeah, of course.
Of course it will. It'll hurt real bad.
No,
because I'll get it wrong, and then you'll laugh at me.
Yeah,
we're all
going to
laugh at you.
We're all going to laugh at you.
I'm going to say he got this.
All right.
He got this, yo.
Let's see how he did.
Blue Flame Special.
That's right.
Oh man. Nice. Good. Well done.
I wasn't even close then.
All right. We've tied things up. This one will go to Scott then. Right. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Point Break is the password used by Thor to access what?
Oh my gosh.
Did Luke know what Thor uses Point Break as the password for?
And did you say one of the Avengers movies, or did you just say the MCU, or what did you say?
In the MCU.
Just MCU.
Okay. When I asked him, it's the MCU, but I can tell you specifically that the movie was Ragnarok, but that won't affect... That's not what I asked him, but I can tell you.
That's not what I
asked. I don't think I know this. I feel like I should know this. See, this is a Ragnarok question. So I'm going to say no, he doesn't know this.
All right. Let's see how he did.
This is tricky.
What is strongest Avenger? That's Thor to access the Quinjet.
That's exactly
right. Damn it.
Nice. Oh, yeah, knowledge is coming out.
Frick.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, when somebody says they're an expert in something, we don't just stay in their little tiny bubble.
We figure out
other things outside their bubble.
This is the right way to do it. This is a cool way to play the game.
How excited he was when they showed that. He was probably like, oh, the movie My relation.
Break. My yeah. break. I love that movie.
Yeah. I don't remember that reference in there at all. I thought I knew
it's when
that.
Thor is trying to access the Quinjet after he's landed on the planet. And
So this is not when Hulk is getting that long shot where he's like riding in the jet.
No. No. Okay. And Thor is like, voice activation required. Thor. Declined or denied. Thor, son of Odin. Denied. Strongest Avenger. Denied. Oh, damn you, Stark. Point Break.
Oh, now you know what? It's coming together now. Now I can kind of remember it. That's pretty funny. I need to watch Ragnarok really again is the answer to this question.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
It's easily one of the top 5 MCU movies. Right. So, Scott, you get this one. I asked Luke about the soundtrack. Featured in the film's soundtrack is Nobody Rides for Free, the last single recorded by what band?
Oh.
I don't know it, but that does feel like a thing he might know after hundreds of viewings. So I'm going to say he knows that one.
Okay. Let's hear how he did.
Wow. I definitely do not know the answer to this one, so I'm going to guess and say Duran Duran.
Oh, that's such a great guess. Rat. Round and round,
oh,
rat.
Oh, man.
Nice. Yeah. Rat. I guess the soundtrack is one place where I'm lacking. I need to focus more on that.
Oh, man, because all of the next questions are ready. I'm sorry, all the next questions are all about the soundtrack.
Okay, let's hit it.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
He's so laid back. You gotta appreciate it. He's just like so mellow.
Luke. He's super, super chill, that dude. Yeah, that's gosh dang it. Okay. I guess I'm up again, aren't I?
Because are up again. In the film, I asked Luke, in the film Hot Fuzz, Nick Frost replicates what Johnny Utah action as an homage to Point Break?
These are hard.
Well, yes. When you say you're an expert at something, exactly. Right.
Ah, Scott Leitcher has a sixth sense of humor, doesn't it?
I'm going to say he doesn't know that.
Okay.
That would be when he lays on his back and shoots his gun up in the air and screams.
That's exactly right.
Gosh, yeah. Dang it.
A very dangerous move, by the way. I feel like that's, those have to come down somewhere.
I know. You see it all the time. You see it in, Three Amigos. People, I got to try and see what happens.
Exactly.
Oh, he knows.
It comes down
at
terminal velocity, though, so it's not going to kill anybody, right?
Well, if it comes down, it will be terminal velocity, but it still hurts. It's like dropping a penny from a building. Yeah, that terminal velocity is enough to create some havoc, but it's still not as fast as the bullet firing.
Ow!
Yeah.
So, I think actually a penny is a bad example. There's a lot of surface there and flipping. I think that
I would think as it goes down, it's probably not going to spin. It's going to go with the least resistance, which means it's going to go edge down.
Right. But didn't I see a Mythbusters or something where they dropped a penny from the top of a high building and it went right through the skull of a fake body or something? Something like that.
I'm sure Mythbusters has done that one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I can't
remember. Oh, yeah. Captain Kipper even found the link while you were saying
it. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
You took so long. Yeah, found it.
So,
busted.
Ian, you've won.
Oh, that's it. He won? Shit.
That was five. That was five points for Brian Dunaway. But we're going to keep going. Okay. And Scott, I'll let you answer these. Which rock star cameos as the character named Tone?
Oh, I know this. He'll know this. He'll know that.
That would be Anthony Kiedis, and I even brought drops. Check it out.
That would be a waste of time.
Wow.
Nice. That's great. I've never had somebody do drops on my stuff, so this is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled that for my own podcast, and I realized it was maybe perfect for today's topic. So
he's not even wearing a sock on his wiener, so that's
no,
good.
No.
Wiener sock.
Gosh dang it, you're one radical son of a bitch, Luke.
Yeah.
And then one last one. While Patrick Swayze's Bodie wears a Ronald Reagan mask during robberies, what three other presidents provide disguises for the heists?
He's going to know this, and also I know it. It's Nixon, Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Garfield.
No, who to...
Hulk.
No, who took over for
President Hulk Smash?
Who was Nixon's VP? I can't think of his name. Ford.
Ford? All right. Yeah.
Okay. So there's Nixon. Okay. Bodie, where's Reagan? Oh, boy. I should have foreseen this question coming up. All right. I'm just going to say, so it's Nixon, Carter, and LBJ.
Very good.
Damn it.
Good job. Yes. You were there. I figured that'd be like if somebody was going to get a list of Point Break questions, it feels like that's the gimme right there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I feel dumb.
It was LBJ. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I knew it was like a boring white guy. I knew that. So I got it. Nailed it.
Very good. Big thanks to Luke Johnson. I guess we recorded this last little bit here. Now we're gonna
all that movie watching finally paid off.
Yes, it's good. It's good to see results from something like that. Not feel like an entire year of having the VCR was a waste of time.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. How's your dry mouth feeling now?
Ian. Yeah, Ian, how do you feel? Well, here.
Dry throat.
You'll feel better when I play this. Hold on.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
How's it feel, buddy? How you doing?
It feels good, and I appreciate the inception of clips that was just going on.
Yeah. It'll
yes, I know. It was clips within drops within clips within drops. It was amazing.
Yeah, your life will never be the same. But congratulations. That means you've won one of the most fun multiplayer couch games ever created by man. So all you got to do to get it, send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he will hook you up. Congratulations, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Ian.
All right. Well done.
Remember to stay hydrated.
And thanks again, Luke. That was great. Hey, Brian, you got anything going on you want to tell people about? Any kind of, you know?
Absolutely. If you're not already following me on Twitch, that's where I've been creating all my content lately. Twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
Nice. Brian, you were correct. I just want to put this out there. The penny drop myth. The myth is the penny drops from a skyscraper, lands with enough force to kill a pedestrian on a sidewalk or embed itself into the sidewalk. They said busted. Firing a penny at terminal velocity, 65 miles per hour or 105 kilometers per hour, into a concrete or asphalt disc, and the ballistics gel head of a human failed to result in any penetrations because the speed is just too low and the penny's mass is too small. They even tried, for comparison, they fired a 6.5 millimeter bullet that split the dummy's skull, but is not... It still wasn't strong enough to go as far as people always said the penny did. So firmly busted. You were correct. Well done. Well,
I won. Splitting twice a skull today.
Is pretty severe, though.
Well, from a bullet, skulls but I would hard, I would expect that from a bullet.
But they fired, like, that's also a terminal velocity, right? So shooting your gun straight up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Most of the mass of a bullet is about the same. It's about the same as a penny, right?
Well, no, they didn't shoot itself. It in the air. They shot it down. They shot it
right, but they shot it at. What would be terminal velocity?
Yeah, correct.
To get it there.
Yeah. And I think that has to do with mass. Like that's a solid pointed thing. So that mass plus speed plus, you know, tapered head means penetration. Penetration.
Plus head means penetration.
Jamie, whatever. So much for you.
Yeah, no problem, buddy. I'm happy to give you some freebies. All right, Brian Dunaway, check him out this weekend on FilmSack. We did a boop show yesterday. Everything's good. Everything's great. And he's part of why it's great. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Aw.
Aw. He says.
Aw.
What was that sound I just heard? Hold on a second. That creeped me out. That was a weird sound. I think something just shifted over there, but that's weird.
Weird.
I don't like it.
It's a ghost.
I don't like it at all, but I do like the news, so let's do the news. Hey, look at that. It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. Going up today, a brand new episode featuring the band Porcupine Tree. Yes, that's a real band, people. I didn't know that either, but they were a prog band formed in England in 1987 as a joke. And inspired by the psychedelic and progressive bands of the late 70s. Hammond and I listened to their entire catalog. What did we think? Well, you'll just have to find out if we thought it was groovy or if we thought it was the worst thing since unsliced bread. Check it out today, soundography.com, and enjoy the show.
Enjoy. It's out there now. All right, check this out.
No, it'll be out there later.
I mean, it'll be out there later. It's out there later.
It's out there later.
Yep. Later. All right, here's some news for you. We talked yesterday about that ancient Pompeii snack bar that they found. You know, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Ancient Pompeii snack bar, huh?
Uh-huh. Pretty sneaky, sis. Oh, wait, that's a different commercial.
Different thing, but you get the idea.
Well, she connected five. Anyway. 120-year-old chocolate found in an Australian poet's paper. Yeah, this is pretty cool. Staff members at the National Library of Australia said they were stunned when they found a 120-year-old box of chocolate hidden in papers of of the late poet and journalist A.B. Banjo Patterson. That is an Australian-ass name right there.
A.B. Banjo Patterson.
Yeah, he died with his chocolate.
Old chocolate.
That's his old name.
That's his voice. Exactly. Yeah. That's actually the voice of the chocolate.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect.
I'm not going to be eating on a box of old chocolates. My mom always told me I was a box of chocolates.
Oh, I kind of hate that combo. I don't know why. I don't know why I don't like it. Anyway, says here they were going through the recently acquired papers of the Australian poet when they stumbled upon a souvenir tin filled with chocolate. The chocolate was in its straw packaging and silver foil wrapping. That's how it used to be. You used to put straw in there. We'd keep it all dry and stuff.
Actually, we just got some cheese from a Vermont cheese mill that my dad sent as part of our Christmas gift. Some amazing, like, old crumbly blue cheese and some really stinky birch rind. And it's good stuff.
That sounds great.
Anyway, it all came in a wooden box that was filled with straw.
Oh, that's cool. And, you can hide your, you can keep your weed in there.
Yes. We'll save the wood box to keep our weed in there. Yep.
Brilliant. Let's see. It is believed Patterson most likely bought the chocolate from one of the soldiers while working at a war correspondent in the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. There was quite a lot of interesting smell when we unwrapped it, says National Library Australian Conservator Jennifer Todd. That person has two first names.
Mm, she does.
It was an old tin of chocolates belonging to Banjo with the chocolate still wrapped in the box. Patterson never referenced the chocolate bar in his writing, but the commemorative chocolate tins became a trading item at the front. So people would like, I'll give you a cigarette for one of your chocolates, they'd say.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Chocolates, I don't know this. I don't know if they spoil or not, but I know after a while they get like a little bit of a white kind of a surface patina, kind of a change in color on the outside.
Like a dog that, poo. Dog poos do that on the grass.
That's true. Out in the frozen wasteland, out in the chilly winter air, they get that white. But I don't think that it tastes bad. Like, I think I've still had chocolate that had that on it, and it's fine. It's my buddy who runs the candy factory up in Georgetown said, no, it's, you know, it's natural. Older chocolate gets that, but it's still fine to eat.
Well, let's ask the question. If you were presented with Banjo's chocolate here, would you...
105-year-old chocolate.
120-year-old.
I'm sorry, 120-year-old chocolate.
Yeah, 120-year-old. Would you just eat it? Or what? What would you do? I don't think I could do it. It's too old.
Yeah, I think I would. I think... because I don't think chocolate spoils.
Yeah, maybe. That may be true. If it
does chocolate spoil, because I like really wanted to know.
It might be like bitter, like the most bitter thing you ever put in your mouth, like a freaking ancient.
Chocolate doesn't have an official expiration date, but it does have a sell-by date. In most cases, it's perfectly fine to eat chocolate past the sell-by date, depending on how it was stored.
Yeah.
Mm, there we go.
Okay. So maybe you'd do it then.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't now that I know that, because I don't think this was stored very well.
Nope. It was stuck in a bunch of books and papers and stuff. But the straw was there, so I don't know.
Anyway, Captain Kipper says it will mold. So if it molds, obviously I'm not eating it.
Nothing wrong with a little extra penicillin in your life, right? Just you know, stick it in and
here we go. Over time, chocolate may change in appearance and develop a thick white film, but it's still perfectly edible. Of course, a taste test is the only way to tell if the flavor has been affected. So the only way to tell if it's bad is if you taste it, which does not feel like a good way to tell if something's bad.
Well, what if you could cut around?
It's too late if you've done that.
You could cut around that chalky white layer thing.
You could scrape the layer, the outer layer off, and it'd be totally fine within. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if there's a cherry in there, one of those weird ones.
Mm-hmm.
No way, dude.
Oh, no way. Yeah. No. Yeah. If it is anything but just solid chocolate, then I might do it, but I wouldn't
for chocolate. I can't eat regular chocolate now, but I can have dark occasionally. That sounds so good right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't even like dark chocolate. It sounds good. All right, a new invention. This is important stuff for the future of this planet. Cow burp catcher.
Cow burp catcher.
Yeah, this is a thing that could help reduce methane emissions by 60%. That is a lot of methane emission savings. Keep it in the cow where it belongs. A burp-catching face mask for cows could prove an unlikely weapon in the battle against climate change by reducing the methane emitted by cattle, which currently is massive. Cattle herds and other ruminants. What does that mean? Ruminant. Is that a cow term?
Cattle, yeah.
Other ruminants? Cattle herds and other ruminants.
Like sheep.
Stuff that like grazes on the land and...
I believe.
Farts a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the exact what all that entails, but I know that sheep, cows, goats. Oh, there we go. Multiple stomach animals. Multiple That's the definition. Multiple
stomach animals. Interesting. Yeah. So technically, Commander Worf
is a ruminant.
Is a ruminant. Or ruminant, whatever he is. Anyway, it says here they're responsible for up to 37% of the methane emitted worldwide. The greenhouse gas is 21 times more potent than carbon dioxide at trapping heat in the atmosphere. But while the cow farts are often the emissions that make up the headlines, cow burps are the problem, with up to 95% of methane emissions coming from their mouths, not their butts.
Oh, yep. Interesting.
That's not a thing I knew until today.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, thought it was all farts.
Hence the burp-catching mask developed in the UK by a company called Zelp. Z-E-L-P.
Maybe we're not even hearing them moo. Maybe those are just like long frat belches. Could be.
Frat belch.
Frat belches, yeah.
I like the distinction.
That's the definition.
By the way, if this UDK company is called Zelp, is it actually called Zelp?
No, because you're not spelling it. It's only Z when you say the letter.
Okay, so it's always pronounced like Z.
Z.
Okay, yeah. So Zelp. It's a terrible name is what I'm getting.
Zelp. It is a terrible name.
Anyway, it's fitted on the cows somewhere between 6 and 8 months of their lives. Let's see. They talked to Wired, the co-founder of the company, Francisco Norris. Said, we're aware that in every country, methane is one of the biggest contributions to global warming. We found a methane mitigation tool in agriculture. Or no, they say that those are under research. There's a lot of innovation coming within the field right now, or occurring in the field. But let's see. Previous solutions of the methane problem have come in the form of animal feed designed to reduce methane emissions. But this thing's going to work. So they're going to put a mask on your Beano. Cow and say, here, Bessie.
Like Beano food.
That's exactly right. Mask up, they'll say to the cattle. Mask That's up right. and save well, some still, planets.
Well, methane will travel through a mask, I assume.
Well, this is supposed to filter it out to some okay. degree. It can't be All 100%, right. but the whole idea is, well, 30, let's see, what's the number? 60% reduction overall with the masks on.
That's crazy.
Which is
that's
probably about
that surprised me. That
if more people wore masks, that's probably the reduction in admission of freaking COVID, for all I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I made that up. Made that right up. Don't have any idea.
I guess it's probably like a it's more of a solid mask as opposed to like the masks that we're wearing that we can that's covering both our noses and our mouths that we can breathe through.
Yeah,
right?
Probably
like,
got
this
some
is probably just covering their mouths and it's like little burp catchers.
Yeah, and it's got like a thick something up front because cows don't complain about their comfort. They're too dumb.
That's right. I'm not gonna wear a moo mask.
Yeah, have moo. Oh, speaking of which, I wonder if anyone else with a close to 2-year-old has this problem. So he loves books and he loves apps and he loves like matching things. He's got these apps that Taylor bought on her iPad that are just like connect these, you know, here's an egg and a chicken and put those two together because those go together and that kind of stuff. And he's really good at it. He's matching and mixing and doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's one app called Sounds Animals Make. And when he plays that one, he immediately bursts out into tears as soon as he even sees the app open.
Really?
It's the cow on there, and it does a realistic, like, like that.
Yeah.
He loses it, pushes the iPad away, crawls into your arms, hides in your hair. He's terrified of it.
Oh, no.
Yep. So cows, what the frick, dude?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. He's and it's the only one. And if he even sees your finger hovering over that app, like you're going to push it, he'll slap your hand away. He'll smack it
really?
Away.
Really?
Yeah. Something with that cow.
Dang.
Don't know what's up. That, I guess the lion. He doesn't like the lion either. But that makes sense to me. A lion, right? Kind of scary and loud and, yeah. I don't know, it's growly and low or whatever. But the cow is just a freaking cow. So he'll get used to it.
This mask, I think it's a... I can't tell. This looks like it's a...
Oh, they're pictures? I didn't even think to look.
Retouched photo, yeah. Not retouched. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Photoshopped.
Here, I'll put it in the chat. I hope this isn't like a crazy long URL. It's not too bad. Well, it still didn't pull up a graphic.
There's video of them making it. Oh, no. This is... What is this? Oh, this is the chocolate guy. I got the wrong thing.
I put it in our Discord, the mask.
Okay.
Which doesn't cover their nose or their mouth. It looks like it like sucks up the methane. Like, yeah, the arrows I know are fake. Thank you, Claire. But I'm thinking that the whole thing might be photoshopped in. I can't tell, or if that really is a photo of them wearing it.
It took me 3 copies of a link to get it right. Oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't tell either. I think that's real, but obviously the arrows aren't real. But
obviously the arrows, yes.
Yeah. Duh. But I think the other part might be. Well, if that's all it is, that doesn't look that fancy.
No. No. It wouldn't affect their breathing or anything.
No.
But how does it know to suck up the methane? I mean, is it just constantly hoovering the top of their head?
Yeah, I don't know. More data needed.
Yes, more exactly.
More data.
Yes.
All right. Let's do this now, this story.
Okay.
Brian, when's the last time you ate an icicle? Were you a kid? Was it a long time ago?
Yeah, I was a kid. Yeah.
Okay. So was I. It's a long time ago. Everyone did. Mm-hmm. That's just mm-hmm. a rule. When you were a kid, you ate mm-hmm. an icicle once in a while. Yep. Well, if you lived in a snowy place, I guess. If you're in California, I don't know what to tell you. But according to a meteorologist in Iowa, they went viral with a TikTok video that showed off why you shouldn't be eating those icicles that come in the winter. And the reason was that it's, well, there's a few things, but one of them is they're hanging off your gutter, and your gutter collects a bunch of stuff, including bird poo.
There's so much bad, like the bacteria from rotting leaves. I mean, there's, you know.
It's the worst. Maybe that's how we built up our immune systems, but everything dripping off of that thing is bad. It's like insects and dead stuff. A bird that you don't even know is dead, or its nest full of freaking baby bird poo is like up the thing and has been trickling down there all winter, and you're just licking on that thing. So anyway, she put it under a microscope and showed it off, and it's sure enough just packed with crap.
I mean, it could have been stabbed into William Sadler's head by Bruce Willis. You never know. I mean, it's certainly... you don't know where that icicle has been.
You really don't.
I forgot he did that. Isn't that weird that I forgot that?
Actually, it wasn't William Sadler. It was another one of his henchmen.
Oh, he didn't do it to Sadler?
No, how did Bruce Willis off Sadler in Die Hard 2?
My only memories of that movie.
Blow him up in a plane. That's right. It was like the plane that had him in there. He lit the.
Oh, and then he shot up in the air in his seat.
Right. The flame followed it up into the sky, and the fire, like the fire followed the fuel trail.
Yeah, it's a super dumb
moment. It is, but we were okay with it back in '95 or whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever it was, we were okay with it. But those, my only memory of that movie is his wife and. The reporter guy from the first movie are on the same plane. That's all I remember.
And she tases him in the bathroom because of the restraining order.
Yeah. that kind of, I remember it bugging me because I just remember thinking, what is it? Because
he was in the bathroom using the sat phone to like give away
scoop.
The secrets that they had found out on the plane. I can't remember.
That was dumb. Just the fact that they're on the same plane. Like, come on.
Right.
How are you really going to do that? Are we going to have that throwback from the first movie? I don't know. Annoyed me.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't eat them is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Don't eat the icicles.
Yeah. They're bad for
you. Think about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the problem with TikTok. As soon as this was said, a bunch of people went and found icicles and started eating them on camera because they're not afraid.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole thing like the COVID.
The COVID challenge.
Put an orange on your stove, burn it, char up the outside, then open it up, eat the insides mixed with brown sugar, and that's how you tell if your taste is coming back. Right?
Really?
From COVID? Yes.
I'd not heard that. That's really weird.
I've looked at a grand total of maybe 5 videos on TikTok. How have I seen this and how have you not?
I know, because I eternal scroll on that thing some nights. Like last night, I was on there for a long time, laughing my head off. I will sit there with Carter and we will just share back and forth dumb things we're seeing.
Right.
And you'd think I would have seen that, but yeah. Have not. Yeah. Have not.
All right, here's
a challenge where it shows you an animal and you've got to make the animal sound.
Oh, right. Or are the cool. The worst one is it's similar where someone's got a fart coming, mm-hmm. and they say to their significant other or whoever's around, they'll say, "Predict what my fart sounds like," and the guy will go or whatever, and mm-hmm. then the person will fart to see if it sounds close. And once in a while, you'll find people that are like dead on. Like,
well, sure.
You I don't know why I'm getting sound. These. Because I don't like them, but when they're there, I'm like, well, I got to see this through.
Because you watch the whole thing. Yeah,
I got to see it through. I got to know.
Yeah.
I got to know. Anyway. Final story of the day. A pharmacist. This is such psycho news.
Oh, yeah.
One of these guys. I'm not saying he would do this, but you know, like,
God, they're
professionals. They went to school for this. Mm-hmm. This is an important part of the medical community here. A pharmacist accused of spoiling COVID-19 vaccines believed it would change people's DNA, and that's why he did it, according to officials. The pharmacist accused of intentionally spoiling nearly 600 doses of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine at a Grafton clinic first appeared in Ozaukee County?
I think Ozaukee, yeah.
Ozaukee County Court on Monday. I don't know where this is.
Halfway between the Ozarks and Milwaukee. I don't know.
That's
really
nailed it. Stephen Brandenburg is the pharmacist accused of deliberately spoiling vials of vaccine at the Grafton Aurora Medical Center on two occasions. Let's see. The district attorney told the judge that the vaccines were initially believed to have been destroyed and needed to be tested to be determined if they were if that was actually the case. Anyway. Let's see. It was being held on probable cause. In their probable cause statement, Brandenburg removed the box containing the vaccine from the refrigerator and let it out for 12 hours, rendering it useless. So that's how you do it, is you spoil them that way. He told investigators he believed the vaccine was not safe for people and would harm them and change their DNA. None of that's true. Mm-hmm. The probable cause statement said... He was an admitted conspiracy theorist, although they're the best. They're the best. Mm-hmm. Medical professionals have reportedly stated that the mRNA COVID vaccines do not alter a person's DNA. Can't believe you have to say that. Brandenburg was arrested on the 31st on charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety and adulterating a prescription drug. Adulterating.
Adulterating.
Should that be altering?
No, adulterating.
What does that mean? Adulterating.
Changing it. Changing the
changes.
Makeup of it. All adulterating.
Right. And now I need to learn today. So we're gonna confirm this definition. Adulterating, to make impure by adding extraneous, improper, or inferior ingredients. Spurious. Adulterous. Okay.
There you go.
That's a weird combo of words, and I'll believe them. I'll believe them. As 57 people did not receive the vaccine after it was let out, but it is believed to be no health harm. So, in other words, if you got one from the spoiled batch, it didn't hurt
probably
you.
Probably just didn't do it. Like,
just didn't work.
Great, you got to come back in, get another jab. Yeah. And then another jab 3 weeks later.
Yep.
How this guy is a conspiracy theorist and a pharmacist is kind of...
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they really are everywhere. But I mean, I would think that, all right, if you're in the medical industry, that kind of gives you that experience and knowledge. You went to medical school. You went to, you know, you've basically done enough to know that right from wrong, I would think, but I guess not.
I blame Ancient Aliens, the show, the cable.
Claire Gack basically narrows down what I was trying to say. He likes science, but also doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. Yeah. It does seem... Well, whatever, you strip him of whatever license you get for being a pharmacist, okay? Mm-hmm. Just take that away. Oh, for sure. Number one, job number one, do that. The rest of it, you know, you prosecute him all you want, but don't let him anywhere near this anymore. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom's Tech Time, recommendals, and more. Before that, a song selection from the vast library that Brian Ibbett has collected over the years. Brian, what are we playing?
That's right. Got a brand new album from Ben called Here Lies Man. Coming out this year. It's called Ritual Divination. And we haven't done a lot of psychedelic rock on this show, but we're about to do some psychedelic rock. Here is the band Here Lies Man and their brand new single, Collector of Vanities.
All right, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Hey guys, let's talk about your VPN or your lack thereof. Maybe you don't even have one. I don't know. But check this out. How do you choose which internet service provider to use? Here's the sad thing, okay? The sad truth of it all is that most of us have very little choice. It's because ISPs operate like monopolies in regions they serve and then use this monopoly to, I don't know, take advantage of you, the customer. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data right on up the chain to other big tech companies or advertisers. And to prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see any of your activity. Just think how much of your life is on the internet right now. Pretty much every site you visit, every video you watch on YouTube, every message you send gets tracked by ISPs and other tech giants. They sell that information and they get profited from it. You get nothing. Well, that's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, one tap button, and you're in on your device and you're protected. It does all this without showing your connection or slowing it. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. I like both those places, so I can trust those guys. Anyway, I really like it. It's simple to use and set up is my favorite part. I don't want to dink around too much. It makes it really, really simple. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and tech giants who mine your activity and sell it off. Protect yourself with a VPN I trust to keep mine private. Visit expressvpn.com/TMS. That's ExpressVPN.com/TMS to get 3 extra months for free. Again, expressvpn.com/TMS. Right now, and learn more.
The thing with motion smoothing that you have to remember is you want it on for sporting events, but off for TV and movies. Even take a football movie like 1974's The Longest Yard, starring mustachioed actor Burt Reynolds.
Dude, you're blocking kickoff.
Well, better to not watch the game at all than to watch in the wrong format, right?
Get out of your sister's bubble.
The Morning Stream, the sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. And yes, that was Colin Robinson talking about motion smoothing on television.
Love it.
He is so freaking funny. All right, we are gonna go Tom Town.
While you get Tom, I'm gonna make a really quick run to the bathroom. Be right back.
Go for it. I'm pulling him in. Well, Brian goes poop, which I shouldn't assume. I don't know where he's going, but it doesn't matter because we're going to play this now right here.
These are their stories.
Wrong one. There it is.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, joins us on Wednesdays, and is here yet again to talk to us today.
Hi, Brian Tom. Just gets up and uses me as a bathroom break. You play the wrong intro. What am I supposed to think here, Scott Johnson?
Kicking the new year off with style is what you're watching. It's what you're witnessing. Normally, you would be like in Vegas already. In a normal year.
Well, right? Yeah, right. Because usually CES is that first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or, you know, in the past several years it has been. They delayed it. So CES is now next week and also not in Las Vegas. It's not anywhere. It's going to be virtual, which, you know, it's not the first conference to do that. IFA did a combo of that back in September and is a technically bigger conference than CES. But, you know, CES is the big hoopla of the tech year here in the United States. So it's odd that it won't be in person at all. And even IFA had some limited in-person events. CES has nothing. So this is a huge technology show that is not going to happen in any particular location. And we're all very curious to see what that means. I've covered it without being there before, but that was because there were thousands of other people there and I could just read their postings on the internet. Now, none of us are going to be there.
So how does one... What does one expect in your position this year as somebody who does cover these things and has to do it virtually? Have they said what to expect?
Do you know what you're looking for?
Well, yeah, they're going to have the keynotes like they would normally have streamed. So instead of crowding into the ballroom, you'll stream them. I never crowded into the ballroom anyway. I always streamed them from somewhere else at CES. So that really isn't different. And honestly, it's not going to be that different for anybody who was in the ballroom, except they won't be as sweaty, I guess. So that will largely remain the same. We'll get the big announcements, not just the keynotes like the Verizon, you know, CEO Vestager keynote, but also we'll also get I think I just said his name wrong, so I apologize. We'll also get, you know, the announcements, the press conference, on stage announcements that all the big companies like LG do. So I'd say a good percentage, 75%, is going to be the same. What'll be different is those things that people stumble across when they're walking around the floor or they're at one of the after hours press events like Digital Experience or Showstoppers or even CES Unveiled. You're not going to get the same momentum of everyone running into each other and saying, hey, did you see the, you know, the fork that vibrates when you've eaten too much? Oh, my gosh, I got to go look at that. Right. Yeah. Which was an actual product last year at CES. Mm-hmm. Tim Stevens was on DTNS earlier and he pointed out that a lot of his compatriots are receiving products in the mail. So we'll have some hands-on stuff, but it will be distributed amongst reporters around the world. And it will be different because instead of, you know, spending 15 minutes in a booth, you've got the thing in your house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big change. So when you, every year CES is famous for, I shouldn't say famous for this, but every year it seems like it's always like, hey, there's this one thing that really popped or one thing everyone expected to see. And there were tons of it, whether back in the day it was super thin TVs or 4K when that was a thing or whatever the hot new innovation is. From whoever, or the thing that everybody's bringing to the table. Is there one of those this year that you've been keyed in on and we're all supposed to be super stoked about?
No, I mean, it always feels like the same trends, but then when you go back and you look over the past 4 or 5 years, they slowly change. So when I say 4K and 8K TVs, it's like, well, just like last CES, except it's probably a different balance. We're probably going to see more 8K TVs. We're probably still not going to see an 8K TV that you're going to actually want to have in your house, or that is going to really be the, you know, compelling for people to buy. But we probably will start to see people making the case of why in a couple of years that'll happen. This was the same as CES 2001 with 1080p. It was the same for CES 2006 with 4K. So that's kind of the evolution, is a little bit more 8K news. Probably the biggest thing that everybody will be talking about is putting 5G in their thing. Now that 5G has pretty much launched and is rolling out widely, we're going to see a lot of different Internet of Things devices, a lot of different laptops, et cetera, that will have that data built in.
Well, I'm excited for your coverage because I always enjoy your coverage of this thing. And this year will be interesting. Do people just go to like Twitch or YouTube and see this stuff live, or is this closed password only? Like what's
A lot of it will be available. You'd probably want to go to CES. I think it's CES.com. It just kind of auto populates when I when I go in there or search CES 2021, and that they'll have a lot of links out. So it may not be all on YouTube, but it will be out there for people to view there. But there will also be private stuff. Yeah, it's CES 2021. Oh, CES.tech.
Oh,
they got the dot tech. Domain.
Oh, the dot CES. Tech. Yeah, because the CES.com just goes nowhere. Squatted. Nice. All right. Well, look at some of these featured speakers. We have Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner of the WNBA, head of product inclusion at Google, and Janine Baptiste. And of course, Dua Lipa, singer and songwriter.
Dua Lipa, she's gonna levitate right on through CES.
I like her, so I am totally down with her and what she has to say. She's very
everything
smart.
Come out all right, Brian?
Yeah, how you doing?
Just fine. Yeah,
oh, good. Okay. So that's fantastic.
I've been back for a while, just being nice and silent. I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah, but, well, no worries. Well, good. Well, I'm again. DTNS will be my source of most of this information, and today I'll be on the Daily Tech News Show. Is there anything else going on in and around any of this stuff that you want to mention today?
Yeah, I think one of the things we'll be talking, well, two of the things we'll be talking about today will be the executive order that the president signed against six or seven different Chinese apps, including Cam Scanner, which is the first app to be banned by the president that I have on my phone. Because it's a hand scanning app. I don't really use it that much, but I was like, oh, look, I have that one. So that and Alipay is another one, which is not used widely in the United States by residents, but it's certainly used by tourists. So, you know, that could impact tourism. So we'll talk about whether this is even going to last, whether President-elect Biden would overturn it, or whether it'll end up getting hung up in the courts like the bans on TikTok and WeChat did. So there's that. And I also want to talk about these new models from OpenAI, DALL-E and Clip, that take your image and tell you what's in it, in Clip's case, based on being able to identify the object. So it doesn't have to be trained on the image to recognize it. And DALL-E, actually, you tell it what to draw something and it will draw it for you.
Oh, wow. I'm into that. I want to see more about that. That seems like my jam.
Yeah. One of the tests they gave DALL-E was a baby daikon radish in a tutu walking a dog.
Oh, really? Oh, so you could go complex.
Yeah. And so it drew 15 different versions of a baby daikon radish in a tutu walking a dog.
Wow. That's crazy. I kind of want to, but now I'm all about following up on this. All right. Yeah. Well, that's great news. Again, today, Daily Tech News Show, 2:30 Mountain Time. I'll be there. You and me and Roger and, of course, Sarah Lane doing the daily, and it'll be great. I'm excited. First one of the new year for me. And all that great coverage of CES coming up soon. They start at what, next week, you said?
Yeah, it starts, I think, technically on Monday, the 11th is when it all kicks off. But as with all CESs, even virtual ones, stuff starts leaking out early. So we're already getting some CES announcements from companies like LG. It'll just ramp up probably on Sunday and Monday, and almost everything will be announced by Tuesday.
Well,
so next Tuesday, Robert Herron and Patrick Norton will be joining us to kind of cover all the home theater announcements, because they're expecting to get a lot of that kind of stuff.
Those two are perfect for that. That's fantastic. Yeah, definitely be checking that stuff out. Speaking of things that leak out early, that was what happened to Brian and why he had to leave the show for a minute. Hey! I
didn't want that to happen, so yeah, it took preventative measures.
Yeah,
well, just not early. That early would be bad, but yes.
Yeah. There you go. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, of course, dailytechnewsshow.com. Oh, any cool side projects going on right now? We've got to make sure to get that in. What are we doing? Anything cool?
You know, not anything particular that I have to talk about, but if you want to keep up with my writing, I've been beta reading a novel that I want to put out, you know, within the next 6 months or so, called The Girl at the Bottom of the Lake. So I might start making some postings and excerpts from that. You can even find some older versions of it if you join my writing Patreon. All kinds of good stuff flows out there throughout the month, things that I write fiction-wise. So go check it out, patreon.com/acedetect.
There you go.
A-C-E-D-T-E-C-T.
There you go. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter. We'll see you soon. Have a fantastic day. Bye now. All right, Brian.
Yes.
We are alone for recommendals today. You and I.
Oh, we're Nicole-less.
Yeah, she just texted us and said school stuff for kids.
Uh-huh.
Priorities. She went, Mark! And then...
Yep, exactly as it should be.
Yeah. So we're going to do that on our own today. And
totally
it starts...
Totally fine.
Yeah, totally, totally fine. And it begins with a little music here. That's right. That music means it's the Scott and Brian edition of Recommendals. Things we've seen on streaming services over the last week that we want to make you go watch. And tradition states, we start with Brian. He's got a couple recommendals today. Let's start with number one. How do you want to set this one up?
Number one is a series. I believe it came out this summer, maybe even spring. But took us a while to get to it, and I'm glad we finally got to it.
Sounds like something I might like. So I'm going to play it now. Yes. And we'll find out what it is. I'll try to guess.
Emperor Peter, I present this branch of spruce. It is an evergreen, and I hope it will be a symbol of our feelings for each other. That we will be constant and caring all our lives.
She gave me a twig. She's not another inbred, is she?
It wasn't mentioned.
I assure you I am of sound mind, sir. I wanted to thank you for your letter. Noble poetic sentiments. It warmed my heart.
I wrote a letter?
We threw a little something together.
How about that? Well, you liked it, so that's grand. Welcome.
I hope I will make you happy.
You're perfect.
I need an empress who's from aristocracy, but not from a family that is powerful or a player. Your family apparently a**ed. You smell funny, is that usual?
I have been traveling.
Let's hope that's it. Wedding's at 7. Archbishop Samson will now give you instructions. Oh, you're cute. I have to get back to my horse.
I have no idea.
That is Knox from Mad Max Fury Road right there, Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
That's a TV show called The Great, all about Catherine the Great.
Oh my gosh, I love that. There's something really funny about that humor.
It is really well done. Like the whole series is like that. It's if you liked The Favorite, then this is kind of more of the same.
Okay.
It's got Elle Fanning as Catherine the Great, or well, Catherine before she's the Great, Empress Catherine, and Peter, son of Peter the Great. Didn't realize she was Austrian, moved to Russia to marry Peter, and then became Catherine the Great, the ruler of Russia for a while. Mm. But it's really, really, really well written, well acted, such a great lineup of folks in there. And most people are folks that, you know, you might've seen in one or two things, but other than Elle Fanning and Nicholas Holt, not a lot of recognizable, faces in there, with one exception. I'm trying to find his name right now. The, he's the priest that's part of
the clip said we weren't informed or whatever he said.
Yes.
There is something familiar about that guy's voice.
And he's a guy that you recognize and say, oh yeah, I've seen that guy in a million things. He is, sorry, thought I should have had this a little bit quicker. Mm. Adam Godley. Mm. And you know, I'll give you a link, but Adam Godley, you know, from,
I know him from a ton of stuff.
Yes, exactly.
He was on Breaking Bad and, other things, yeah. Other things.
Exactly. Exactly. He's like one of those people. Love Actually.
Isn't he the monkey? He's the monkey on Umbrella Academy, I think. He's the voice.
Oh, I think you're right. Yes.
I think so. Right? I think that's right.
Yes, he absolutely is Pogo. He absolutely is the voice and then does also the motion capture.
Yeah, I like this guy. He's got a creepy way about him.
The Blacklist and Homeland and...
This sounds like my jam. This is so funny because I just saw a period-based series with Kim that I really disliked. It was called Bridgerton. I'll just put it out.
It's a brand new thing, Bridgerton, yeah.
Yeah, really didn't like it. But I wanted to because I like period piece stuff. And I really hated it because it's a romance novel. And it's based on a romance novel, and I get it, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. And Kim liked it, and I can't stand this sort of stuff. But I like period piece, what you've described, and that clip tells me that this is way more where I want to be.
It's got such a great sense of humor and it's a mostly accurate retelling of the story of Catherine the Great. Mm. Including the whole rumor about her and a horse.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
They broach that subject.
Okay. And,
I'm in. Ellie Fanning does, really fakes an accent real well. She's great.
Gosh, she does. She does such a great job. Yeah. And and Nicholas Holt, you know, we love him. Awesome. The Beast. Great. Nux. He's everything he's in. He's great.
He's great in everything. And he's stupidly handsome. Like, go away with your perfect face. He's just too good looking. I like him, though. Right. I like him.
Yes.
All right, great one. First, that's your first one down. What's our next one?
It's, by the way, it's on Hulu, and the whole thing's there. And there's a little bit of nudity, but very, very, very little nudity. A lot of swearing.
Oh, all right. Bring it on.
And everybody says huzzah all the time. All the time. Huzzah. Huzzah.
Really? Oh,
huzzah.
They say huzzah. Yeah. Okay.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. let's have it make a comeback. Let's get Huzzah back.
I'm fine with that. I think we should make a comeback of Huzzah. Huzzah.
Sure, why not? All right, is the second one a movie or another TV show?
Second one is also another TV series. This one's HBO Max, and you'll probably recognize at least one of the voices in this clip.
All right, here we go.
Oh my God, Baccarat! Video roulette, video poker, video blackjack!
Okay, Nora, you can sit with us if you want, or you can find your own table if you'd rather have some space.
What?
Oh, this is what we do in Atlantic City. We sit in the food court and we watch K-dramas all day. Then we turn in our vouchers for cash.
You guys can come all the way to Atlantic City and not gamble? You could be doubling your money, Grandma. The house never wins.
That is wrong.
I can't believe you guys come here and just sit here when there's a million fun things to do out there. It's the whole world. We have craps, slot machines, parcheesi tables. This is awesome. And you guys just sit here the whole time?
Oh, yes. Except one time we all pooled our money to get a male prostitute for Helen as a joke. They had lunch together, maybe some light fingering. But otherwise, we just keep the money.
I don't have any idea. I thought that was SpongeBob at first. I don't know who that is.
The voice, the high-pitched grandma voice is Lori Ten Chin, who you'd recognize from Orange is the New Black. She was Mi Chang, the Chinese con in prison with all the women. All right. But the other voice you're hearing is Awkwafina, who plays her granddaughter.
Okay.
And this is Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. And it's basically, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like Atlanta and Insecure, in that you've got a central character who's loosely similar to their acting character, but you're seeing a fictionalized version of their life. And okay. So she lives with her grandmother and her dad, who is B.D. Wong.
Oh, I love B.D. Wong. He's great.
Yep. And he's great in this. He's like the most mellow B.D. Wong character you've ever seen. Mm. And it's really, really funny and very awkward at times. I guess maybe in a little bit of like Kirby Enthusiasm kind of thing going on, where you know Larry David is kind of like that character, but it's definitely a dramatized, fictionalized version of his life.
This is interesting. I'm looking at the rest of this cast. There's a few people in here
Bowen,
I really like.
Bowen Yang, you recognize, Saturday Night Live cast member, Bowen Yang.
This is HBO original.
This is, I think, there was some Comedy Central stuff. I take that back. It did premiere on Comedy Central in January, and then that's how it became part of HBO Max. Because I guess it's got a.
This is hilarious. I was just talking about how that sounded like SpongeBob the Grandma.
Yeah,
Awkwafina was a voice in the SpongeBob movie Sponge on the Run.
Was she really?
Yeah, she didn't do SpongeBob, but it was. That's just kind of a weird combo of things.
That is. That really is. Huh. Yeah,
I like her. She's pretty freaking funny. I even heard of this. This is all new to me. This show.
Yeah, it really snuck in under the radar, and it's a 10 episode first season, and it's So I Am Sci-Fi says it's the only live action original that's staying with Comedy Central.
Oh, interesting. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they're half hour episodes. You get the whole thing on HBO Max, and it's really funny and at times very awkward.
I like awkward. Awkward humor makes me
laugh. And Awkwafina's great. I mean, you know, he loved her in Crazy Rich Asians and
she was in Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8, yeah. Right.
She was in...
she's a great bottle of water, that Awkwafina.
But she spells it like awkward, which is the point, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes, I think so, yeah.
Such a weird thing. It's also weird having your name in there, in the title. Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. And her real name
You get two of her names because her real name is Nora.
Yeah, it's Nora Lum, right?
But, so you get both of her names
in the title. That's hilarious to me. All right. Cool. Here's my recommendal for the week. So this is something that I just caught myself watching with Kim. I didn't think I was going to care, and I ended up really liking it.
And we're only a season in. There are two more to go. It just ended its run. So there's all your hints, Brian. Three seasons long. Here's the clip.
Three seasons long. You just finished the first season.
Yeah. Something Kim would like that I would think I wouldn't, but end up really liking. There's your other hints. All right. Okay. Here you go.
All right.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Harvey Kinkle, the only person you're going to scare is yourself.
Gotcha.
Good night, Harvey.
In the town of Greendale, where it always feels like Halloween, there lived a girl who was half witch, half mortal, who, on her 16th birthday, would have to choose between two worlds, the witch world of her family and the human world of her friends.
Happy birthday, sweet 16.
And that girl is me.
Probably obvious.
Yeah, at first I was like, is it Scream Queens? Oh, wait, Greendale. Well, I know it's not Community because that lasted for longer than three seasons. That's not Britta or Annie talking there. Yep. So that's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
Yep, the one on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Don Draper's daughter on it?
Yes, that is who that is.
Yeah, oh, she's Karen Shipka. Yeah.
She has such a weird... She's obviously, she's very young, but she has a very old soul kind of face. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain, but it really adds to that. It's perfect for the character because that is that character. It's like this smart, plucky, no-nonsense sort of person who's not your normal 16-year-old kid, and she pulls that off beautifully. I think she's perfectly cast in it. But what a big surprise this was for me. Now, I know there are fans of the series who I have heard rumblings lately that the third season that just ended, people weren't happy with the way it ended. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure happy with the way it's going. It's very, very good. And it's like legit creepy and legit freaky. And they really go hard into like, these witches are all a bunch of Satan worshipers and there's some gnarly deaths. And, you know, she's kind of the bright light and all of it. Oh, and her aunts are played wonderfully by, who played Dawn on The British Office?
Lucy Davis.
Yes, she's she's one of the aunts, and she's great. Who's the other one? I'm gonna try to find her name so I don't screw this up. Her name is can't find it. Oh, here it is. Miranda Otto. Miranda she's been Otto. In a million
I
things.
Know that name.
She was Eowyn in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, right. Something recently too.
Thin Red Line, War of the Worlds. She's in
War of the Worlds. It must have been that adaptation of War of the Worlds that we just watched a couple of years ago.
She was Allison Carr in the Homeland series, which I know you were watching at one point.
No, I've never seen.
Oh, I thought you saw.
Oh, I'm sorry, Homeland. Yes, not Homelander.
Homelander.
Or Outlander. Homelander. I was thinking Outlander, Homelander.
I want to see a Homelander Outlander.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'd like to see Homelander Outlander.
Anyway, she's she's great as Zelda, Aunt Zelda, and you mentioned the other lady, and I already forgot her name. Gosh, dang it. Anyway.
Yes, Lucy Davis.
Yeah, Lucy Davis is great. There's also Michelle Gomez.
Michelle Gomez. Yeah. She's the doctor's enemy on Doctor Who.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. She's the thing I was thinking of is she was in that flight attendant thing. She was the assassin.
Yes.
Lady. Yeah. So she's been in quite a few things lately.
Which we'll have to talk about after you're done talking about Sabrina. Yes, Missy. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. It's awesome. I really liked it a lot. And we're only a season in. I'm excited to get to season two. It's not normally something I'd care about. It's all in this Archie universe that I don't really give a poop about. Like, it's not, you know, whatever. But there's something about this thing. It's something really well... I mean, all the acting is like top notch. The scares are real. Like, it's a legit effort. Like, it's just very good. And I came away so surprised by it. So I'm going to recommend it. It started in 2018, just finished this year, and is called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Available now wherever you get your Netflix. Okay, we should talk about that flight attendant. That was almost a recommendal from both of us, but...
Yeah.
Both of us kind of felt the same. It was a little middling and weird. I don't know.
It was sprawling. They tried. I feel like they tried to have too many B stories because the A story is great and compelling and interesting. you know, Cuoco wakes up in a hotel room with a dead passenger from her flight and has to recount the, basically has to hangover style recount the events that led to his death. Mm-hmm. But then there's all these other side stories with Zacia Mamet from Girls and Rosie Perez. And
And I love those characters in the context of the main story. Mm-hmm. They're fine. But when they start having their own little, here's what it reminded me of. And so someone will hear me say this and they'll go, oh, I know what they're saying then, because this is exactly the same feeling I had. Thankfully, they fixed it in the next season. But in Friday Night Lights, the series, first season, amazing. It really established that show. Incredible characters, all that stuff. The next season, Jesse Plemons' character kills somebody. Like full-on murder. And then it may have been self-defense. But anyway, the point is that created a tonal shift in that show that just didn't belong. It just wasn't meant to be there. And they fixed it. Season 3 and forward, they never got stupid again, and it went fine. But that second season was a real bummer because of that just tonal shift for no good reason. They didn't need to go there where they went.
Right. Had plenty of drama that it was doing fine with. And
it just felt out of place. And it was like a different show needed to be made about this thing with different characters in it. That's how these side stories feel to me. It's like, okay, the Rosie Perez character is great as this sort of wannabe best friend, but she's a little bit mousy. And now she's all involved with selling secrets to the Chinese and, you know, like, or the Koreans, I guess. Like, all that stuff is just like, okay, what? No, bring it back. It's fine. Go back to where it was before. And then the other thing happened with her lawyer friend, who again, I love her story as it pertains to the main story. She's great.
Yeah.
But the minute it starts to be this whole, that whole mob thing and everything, I went, oh, yes. That's a separate TV show. That's not this TV show. So I'm really torn on it. And because on the one hand, I thought her performance, Kaylee Cuoco's performance is amazing. And a lot of the tonal stuff is really great. The humor's pretty good. It's good dark humor. The dead guy's great.
He's great, yeah.
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 Like, all that stuff's great, but I don't know. I can't come fully around on it yet, which kind of bums me out because there's something there. And they got a season 2 greenlit already, so.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. And I had to look it up. Zacia Mamet is the daughter of David Mamet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder what that's like at Thanksgiving. Because David Mamet is like a brain, dude. He really is,
yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna look that up and see how that's all.
Yeah. Going. Oh, I didn't realize she'd been in so much stuff. I knew that she was in Girls, and I didn't. I guess she was also in Mad Men for a little while.
She's an odd looking human. She has a weird look to her.
Eyes are very close together.
Yeah, they're right in there. You have to buy glasses at a special place. I mean,
yes. She's the opposite of Anya Taylor-Joy.
You're not wrong. All right. There's your recommendals for the week. And I don't know if that means Nicole will be tweeting them. She probably will because she likes to do that. But again, let's remind them. Mine was
The Chilling Adventures
of Sabrina. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I just keep saying Sabrina when I talk about it. What were yours again?
Yours is on Netflix, right?
Yep.
Sabrina's the... Yep. Mine are Hulu's The Great, about Catherine the Great, and Awkwafina's Nora from Queens from HBO Max.
Nice. These are good.
So no matter which service you've got, there's something we've probably recommended something for it.
Probably. One final email before we get out of here. This is from Cece. Mm-hmm. Or Ceci. Probably Cece.
Cece.
Dear Saffron and Basil.
Basil.
Two things. One, if you love The West Wing, check out The West Wing Weekly Podcast, where Josh Molina and Harishi Harway do an episode by airing or do episode by episode reviewing, kind of like FilmSack does. They often host people from the political world, as well as cast members, directors, and writers, including Aaron Sorkin himself. By the way, Hershey also produces the amazing Song Explorer series on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, Song Exploder. That thing Exploder. Is great. Amazing. Yeah.
Explorer.
Yeah, start out on, well, I think it's still an NPR. I think it's an NPR show. I know that it it's the music podcast that always dominates the music charts, the music podcast charts, which is fine. It deserves it. It's really, really good. And I just started watching the Netflix series, which is also really good.
That's awesome.
For a future Recommendal to be that.
And if any of you are wondering who Josh Molina is, he is he replaced his character replaced Rob Lowe's character in the series. Not playing the same character, but when Rob Lowe's character left, this new guy
filled that. Josh Molina. He was in Sports Night.
Yeah.
He was great on Sports Night.
He's a Sorkin regular, I think.
Yep.
Number two, regarding the age group that follows TMS. Yes, it's clear you guys attract a younger than you crowd. But, FYI, I'm old enough to be your older sister. I'm a recently retired software engineer. I've picked up cooking as a hobby, and I love listening to you guys while prepping dinner for my hubby. You make me laugh out loud. Shout out to Justin for the wit and politics and Nicole for the recommendals. Love the snowblow. CC. That's very nice.
Thank you, CC.
We respect our elders, CC.
Our older sister listener. Yep. If there's anything that we don't care about, it's how old our listeners are. We'll offend you.
We don't care. Equal opportunity offenders here at the show.
Exactly.
We'll take you no matter what age you are. I did hear from an 18-year-old who said, "You guys were talking about all these 30-year-olds, and I was feeling really young, and I didn't want to say anything." I'm like,
"Yeah.
Don't feel that way, because you'll be 30 before you know it, okay?" It comes like overnight, man. You're just gonna
be there. It really does. And boy, it bums me out that you told him that, because it's
yeah.
Don't want him to feel like, "Oh, great, I've got nothing to look forward to. I'm gonna be as old as these farts before
these
too
old,
long."
These old men that talk to him
these
every day. Man,
these grumpy old men.
We'll take you no matter what. So whoever you are, wherever you are, right, no matter what your age, you're welcome here. Okay.
Always.
That's it for the show. If you would like to support this nonsense, we would really appreciate it, because it's how we keep the lights on here at TMS Central. Go to patreon.com/TMS. And for all else, we're at frogpants.com/TMS. We're going to leave now, but we can't do it without a song request from Brian Ibbett.
We absolutely do. And Scott, I know you're a big fan of this one. Adam, a.k.a. Hubert in the chat, says, "Hey, S&B. Boy, not even trying, Adam. Just S&B. All right. Back on April 1st, you played a song for me on my first day of unemployment. This week, and this was middle of December. This week, after almost 9 months, I'm starting my new job. Even though I didn't work through as much of my PS4 backlog as I wanted to, I'm excited to get back to work with this new opportunity. Any song about going back to work or celebration or whatever would be great whenever you have an upcoming opening. Love the show, though. Do dogs have brains? Because I seriously wanted to know."
Oh, they want dogs have brains? Crap. Yeah. Do I have that here? I do. Here it is. Brains. Okay, here we go. Oh, I have a choice here. I got to make sure. Okay, here we go.
My favorite.
No, that's not it.
"Do dogs have brains? Because I seriously wanted to know."
There you go. I wonder how she's doing. Hope she's well, that lady.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So he said, really, pick something, whatever. But if it could be about getting back to work or celebrating or anything like that. Listen, I've played so many going back to work and job songs that I've run out. Plus, I just really love this song and wanted to play it on the show. This was actually number 7 or 8 in the Coverville Countdown this year as far as the 40 best covers of 2020. If you have not checked out those episodes, they're the best ones of the year, really. If you're a brand new listener, go check them out at coverville.com. So good. This is a cover of the song New Slang, originally by The Shins, covered here beautifully and perfectly by Samantha Urbani. She did this as part of a Stereo Gum project called Save Stereo Gum. Basically, you made a donation to help the website Stereo Gum, and you got this downloadable album of several dozen artists covering other artists. I mean, it was a no-brainer for me. Plus, I really like Stereo Gum, so it was an easy decision for me to make. But here it is. Here is New Slang by Samantha Urbani.
I mean, I can't overstate this. I've not been able to go a day without listening to this cover. I love it.
It is
that
really, really good. Yeah. I don't know what the song means. I don't know if it's celebrating I'm looking at the lyrics right now, and I still can't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get blood in your fries or whatever it is. Blood in your bones.
Dirt in your fries.
Yeah, dirt in your fries. There you go. All right. Here it is. Enjoy. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the show. Should have Wendy and all that stuff. So check us out then. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hello, boys.